This podcast is a proud representative of The Wellness Company. Go to twc.health/alternatetake for all your wellness needs and type in the promo code alternatetake, one word, for 10% off. You guys, in today's world, health has never been more important. In fact, it's one of the coolest subjects we've been able to touch on here at Alternate Take, and we've gotten some amazing guests to have discussions with, including Dr. Peter McCullough, who you all know as probably the most famous doctor in the world ever since his episodes on Joe Rogan. He is the chief scientific officer of The Wellness Company, and nothing goes through this whole company without his knowledge. If it's certified by Dr. Peter McCullough, it's certified by us. The Wellness Company is unequivocally and unapologetically standing up for medical freedom and the right to affordable health care. This company has always put the patient first. If you go on their website at twc.health, you'll see all natural products and everything that's going to make you a better human being. Guys, let's get healthy before we even get to the hospital, before we get serious problems. This is the place you got to go. Go to the website, twc.health/alternatetake, promo code alternatetake, one word, for 10% off, and thank us later. Get healthy, guys. Your family's dependent on you. This is Alternate Take. I am your host, Danny Rodriguez. Welcome back to the show. On this episode, man, we did it. We looked on the bright side of life. We did every damn thing you can do on an episode with the drummer of Revolution, man. It was incredible. We interviewed Mr. Wesley Finley. What a good time, dude. Revolution's my favorite band, for damn sure. You know, as a kid, it was Metallica and Tupac. Was an angry little fucker, but man, thank God for that music, man. Those are still part of my top five bands, artists of all time. But now that I'm older, much more relaxed and shit, and a lot more gratitude on life, Revolution just fits me perfectly, man. And to have a guest like him on the show today was just unbelievable, dude. He's just a fucking super good dude, and you know, we went over all their music that they've had and their story of how they got together, and you know, his music interest even peaked in the beginning. It's incredible, man. Just a great guy. So without further ado, I bring to you guys the great drummer of Revolution, Mr. Wesley Finley. What's up, everybody? This is Alternate Take, and we brought you guys an amazing guest, man. We brought you Mr. Wesley Finley of Revolution. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, Danny. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. This is a huge honor for me, man. You know, I think I found out about you guys and like right in the beginning, and I would say like 2008, 2007. And it's been legendary ever since, man, to say the least, I would say. I mean, I have my favorite bands. I always go back to the Metallicas, the AC/DCs, you know, and whatnot, the Sabbaths. But sure. You guys are easily top five for me, man. And it's not even close, man. I've seen you guys live at least 20 times now. Yeah, man. So it's Yeah, man. Big fan, dude. Big fan.
That's almost as many times as I've seen myself.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, man. It's a long time coming, I would say, dude. But before we get to all your accomplishments and later on, man, let's introduce the people to Wesley Finley, man. Tell everybody where you grew up and where you're from, man.
Yeah, I grew up in the Monterey Bay of California, so right in the middle of California, and a little town called Prunedale. Lived there, you know, till college, and then I moved to Santa Barbara, which is where I met the band, and lived there for 15 years, and I moved back home here to Monterey probably like 5 or 6 years ago. But yeah, just grew up in this pretty rural town near the ocean, and I find that it's hard for me to not live near the ocean. I don't think I can ever do it now that I've grown up there, and then also went to school in Santa Barbara. And so it's just like, I got to have the ocean near me, like at all times, it feels like. So, yeah, proud to be from this little small town, but, you know, made some big stuff happen. So, feels good.
That's awesome. I feel like being from a small town and making like something big of yourself is always like a huge thing. Cause it's not just about you. It's about your hometown too. They celebrate your accomplishments bigger than almost you do sometimes, man. I know I'm from a small town here in, it's called La Habra, And anybody who does fucking anything in La Habra, it's like you, oh, I used to know him or whatever. We used to do Four Loko. Whatever. It don't fucking matter.
No, that's like you're saying too. And then it brings more of a community into it. You know what I'm saying? Nothing gets lost in the shuffle. Like, so, you know, every accomplishment for anybody is a big deal. So yeah, I see what you're saying.
Absolutely, man. When did music come into your life when you were a kid, man? What, we talking Dustin through your dad's records, or there's a neighborhood band, some old creepy dude at the end of the block that just had a fucking guitar and you got in it, or a fucking drum set and you're just there? What was the deal, man?
Yeah, we had, strangely enough, we had an electric piano just because it was a smaller footprint in the living room. So we had that, and we had an acoustic guitar. So I would just, you know, as a bored kid after school some days, I would just kind of mess around on those things. Play along to, you know, you start playing along your favorite songs, right? That's how pretty much everyone starts, is like, how does that, you want to get that out. It's like in your head, and then you want to physically get it out with your fingers or your voice. So it's kind of how it started. And then, you know, joined the school band and, you know, just played percussion. And I tried French horn, but I didn't really like it. After that was percussion, and then, you know, kind of just took off from there, obviously. But yeah, some humble beginnings.
Wow, man. And what were your bands that first grabbed you when you were a kid? Like the ones that really, like, you couldn't stop listening to?
Nirvana, you know, I grew up in the 90s. So it was like, I still love 90s R&B to this day for like the vocal melodies. But then as far as like instrumentation and like jamming out, like it was always alternative rock. And I did have like Bob Marley's greatest hits back in the day too. Like that was one of the first cassettes that I got, along with like TLC and Nevermind by Nirvana. And those are like some of the earliest ones that I can remember buying.
Wow, man. You know, it's funny because like it's funny you mentioned all those bands, because I swear I can hear a lot of their influence in your music for sure, man. I can hear some Nirvana. I can definitely hear some 90s hip hop, man. Like there's a cool song I like. I mean, everyone likes it, but from Montel Jordan, where it's let's get it. What's it called? The one that goes, "Girl, if it's all right," fucking that one, you know?
This is how we do it. Was Montel Jordan's big one for sure.
Right, right. But like that specific song, like the intro, like drums are super catchy. Like, and they have like this really cool cymbal in the beginning. And I feel like your music is very similar. Like you have a lot of fucking great intro riffs like that, that just fucking immediately grab your attention. Like from the last record, Initials, like the first intro riff is fucking genius. It gets you in the song before the song even starts. How much of that was influential in your work, where you thought like, man, I like what that guy did there, man. I'm going to throw this in here or whatnot.
Yeah. I've always considered myself more of a groove guy. I'm not like, you know, I don't do these super long or intricate fills. Like, as a drummer, you do fills, but, you know, there's some like crazy rock drummers, obviously, that just go off or like to do solos and stuff. And I've never really been that guy. I've been more of the groove dude. There's something about just sitting really hard in a pocket that feels good to me. And you know, letting it ride out, and then finding different ways to change up that groove really subtly or add little accents. That's where like a lot of the hi-hat work comes in, that I think I do. And then like ghost notes and stuff on the snare that, you know, sometimes go unnoticed, but, that's the type of drummer that I feel like I am. And that, I'm sure a lot of that, yeah, came from hip hop.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I think the genius part about drums is not really about, it's not always about like the notes you're putting out. It's also about knowing when to pause, knowing when to let the other bandmates do their fucking thing. And I feel like you're a master at that, man. There's like so many parts of the songs where you get it, you come out, and then you come back in and you do it like perfectly. And I feel like that's a huge thing in hip hop. You see that all the time, especially in today's hip hop, where like they lay off the beat, bring it back in. And then that's like kind of, you can see the crowd feed off that like 100%, man.
Yeah. I'd probably also have to say that, so that's what you're describing too, is like not overplaying. And I feel like I got that from being in a high school band and college band, because, you know, you're in a huge band. You're in a band. I was in a band with over 100 kids in high school. We had a huge, successful high school band, and it takes a lot of, you know, sitting back, and you're playing sheet music. So you're there's long pauses where you go without playing. And then you have your little moments to shine, but it teaches you to just be patient and be aware of what other instruments are doing, I think, early on.
Yeah, man. And there goes unsaid too, but like everyone like having their role and performing it to execution like that, it just goes a long way to get the respect of your bandmates too. I mean, like, dude, like I think the biggest accomplishment you guys have is being together for this long. I mean, you know, everyone's heard the epic stories of bands breaking up, the Pink Floyds, the Police, all these things, man. They're gonna happen. The Sabbaths, like, and for you to not make it, for you to keep it this long and this successful, and everyone's friends, and you know, you guys, everyone's got kids, and you're like the uncles to their kids. That's just fucking unbelievable, man.
Yeah, we're coming up on I think next year will be 20 years, roughly. So yeah, it takes a lot of listening and compromise. You know, it's like being in a relationship and making it work. You're in a relationship with three other dudes, you know, if not more people than that. So I think just keeping calm and talking things out and knowing your place, you know, finding your niche is key to maintaining a good relationship.
Yeah, man. It's funny too, because I feel like for some reason, when it comes to the listeners here, especially with reggae, like the drums don't really come to your attention right away. Like if you're like a normal listener to music and you're not an advanced listener, the first thing that catches your ear, especially to reggae, is the piano and the bass. They're like the main rhythm section, and it gets you to the beat right away. But like, I don't know why, man, yours always stood out to me. It just always did. Like there's just certain riffs that you would do that would just like fucking blow my mind. And like with More Than Ever, you have a very specific rhythm beat that's just like, okay, dude, like this is, without this, this song wouldn't be the same, you know? Or there are certain songs that are very simple rhythmically from the piano and bass, and then you add an extra layer where you're like, oh fuck, he tore this shit up. Like without that, that wouldn't have been here. I think that's probably the thing I find the most exciting about your work, man, is like you said, you have a very key ear where you know this is when I should tune it up and this is when I should tune it down. And it just fucking works, man. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, thanks for noticing that. I think a large part of that plays to the fact that I didn't listen to reggae or until college, till end of high school, and I didn't grow up listening to reggae. So I was mostly when I, you know, joined the band with these guys that they started to expose me to a lot of like the, you know, the traditional classic reggae artists. And then we just, you know, helped usher in a new era of different reggae artists. But I think that plays to my background is like, because I didn't listen to reggae growing up, I didn't know what was standard. So I just, you know, like we said before, I kind of played to what I knew, which was hip hop and alternative rock. So I think that kind of helps me develop my own identity with my style of playing.
Oh, dude, I feel like that part, that little trick you just mentioned is almost everything, man. Like, I have a buddy who's he's a big gun guy. Fucking, he's been shooting his whole life, and his parents have been shooting and taught him how. And I never shot a gun in my life until like last year, 2-3 years ago. And then I went with him the first time, and like he was all over the place, and I was fucking perfect, and I didn't miss it. Never shot ever. And he was like, "What the hell?" He was all frustrated, and I was like, "Well, first of all, you're looking at a Brigadier Grade 3 in Halo 3, so back the fuck up." Yeah. Number two, like there was that layer of what you just said. Like there, I came in it with no idea what the fuck I'm even doing, so I just brought my own flavor to it. And sometimes when you set high expectations for yourself like that, where you'll get in your head, it's like a hot chick, like you don't know she's rich, and then you hit on her and all of a sudden you find out she's rich later. Like, if I would have known you're rich before, I may have fucking tempered what I was in. I may have hesitated a little bit, and now I didn't, and it just fucking pans out. Like, it's kind of the same thing with that, man. I like that approach to it. It's fucking cool.
Yeah, not having a preconceptions. You can also say like ignorance is bliss in a way that kind of fits into that too. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Especially when it comes to music, dude. I think that allowed you to create the new genre. I mean, like looking back at the old ones, which ones I guess would say were the ones that you look back and go, wow, that guy actually did. I'm surprised I never knew who he was before. Like, which ones did Eric and all the other guys show you from reggae that were just, you know, incredible? Cause I didn't know any reggae drummers until like recently, like the last 3 or 4 years. And then I'm like, now I went down a rabbit hole and there's some bad motherfuckers out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Like anybody who drums for any of the Marleys is always, you know, somebody big. And then of course you got, so it was mostly like Don Carlos and Black Uhuru and Oswald. Those are like some of the, like, you know, early ones that I can remember them showing me, and just kind of listening to whoever they had on that specific track at that time. But yeah, it took some exposure to understand, like, especially like, you know, there's a handful of traditional reggae beats that are just like, you know, constants that never go away. And so it was important to learn those, because those, you know, came into play in our music too. Like I find myself like, oh yeah, this fits this song. And I think it's because I remember hearing it, you know, in a certain track or whatever. So it is actually important for reggae drummers to learn some of those basic beats that, you know, survived time.
Absolutely, man. When you guys came out with your first record, Courage to Grow, explain to me the aftermath after that. Cause I bring up like this funny little story. I remember when, I heard this on a podcast somewhere where they were talking about, Friends, the show Friends, and how they did the first season. They already pre-recorded it and it wasn't on TV yet, but they all went to Vegas to celebrate. Like, all right, we're done. We fucking did it. And then the creators of the show gave them all like $1,000 to go gamble on. Like, here you go. It's all that. And he said, enjoy tonight, because after tonight, literally you'll never be able to come out here in Vegas like this, like regular people, ever again. You can't even be after this. Cause once this hits, it's done. You guys are superstars. I felt that way about your guys' first record. Like, I really did feel that way. And I was curious to see if you guys felt that way. Did you guys know the aftermath was going to be so strong after you made your first record?
No, of course not. Like, we just, you know, when it's your first record, the first record is always different for bands. Like, that's what body of work you've created in your lifetime up to that point, right? Everything else after that is like, you know, within a year span or a handful of years between records. But that first record is everything before that, which is a lot of time. So those are going to be some songs. And I think that's why a lot of bands like end up being one hit wonders, is because they've taken the time to create this first album. And then it's hard, you know, it's pretty hard to come back after that. But so we've been lucky. But as for Courage to Grow, we were just five guys who had saved up enough money from gigging to finally, you know, record those original songs that we had in between doing covers, obviously. And we just holed up in a studio in Northern California for 2 weeks and knocked it out. And you know, it was mostly to like sell out our shows and help promote the band. Like, it was going to be like a promotional tool of sorts. It wasn't going to be, you know, like something that like we thought would like take us, you know, too far. So when like iTunes obviously was like kind of starting up at that point, as well as like MySpace and stuff was popular at that time. So like that helped, you know, get music out to more people. So I think we kind of just timed it right too, with the way technology was working at that time, and MP3s and stuff, and burning CDs and sharing with friends and stuff. So I think it was a good stroke of luck with timing, and then just being persistent about keep playing shows, keeping getting your name out there. And we're obviously happy with the success that we've had.
Yeah, man. I mean, you guys did start a fucking revolution. It's insane that that is the band, but that's literally what you guys did, man. If I would ask anybody before Courage to Grow, if you liked reggae, everyone would just say, yeah, I love Bob Marley. That's fucking all they would say. There was no like extra stuff, you know? And I remember the first time I was even introduced to you guys, I was in a health class before high school. You know, you gotta take those bullshit classes before you go to high school, like a summer class. Yeah. And, in between all the stuff, I remember some girl, she had her iPod and we would like share the ear. I was trying to hook up with her, so it was, you know how it is. But she put it in and she had the album on there, and I was like, god damn, it was just like, I didn't know it was the flavor I needed. You know what I'm saying? Especially during that time, there was so much music coming out that was like on the bridge to new music in a genre. Like, my favorite artist at the time was Kid Cudi during that time. And I felt that way about him that I feel about you guys, that holy shit, he's doing something old, but making it so fucking new that it's blowing my mind. I don't even know what's going on. And it just sounds so fucking simple, but so elegant and perfect. And it's, what's the term? Like, ordered chaos, I would say. Like, where it's ordered, but it's fucking, it feels great, man. It's unbelievable. I feel like that's a good way of like saying you're describing your music, ordered chaos. I love it.
Yeah. And what you're describing is, I think, why people should be more open-minded, because like you never know what's going to influence you at any point of your life or in time, and it could come out of, you know, left field. So like, you would have never found something that is now your new passion if you weren't open-minded to hearing or accepting new things. So good thing you put on that girl's headphones.
Yeah, exactly, man. What other passions do you have besides music? Is there anything else you do that you kind of throw your hat in the fire and just say, fuck it, I'm in?
Oh yeah, I have too many, in fact. But my main ones are disc golf. That's it's an activity that gets me out on the road, and it's a sport that I can take seriously and enter tournaments too. So that keeps me grounded. It gets me outside. Gets me to see new places that I never would have thought I'd go or see. So disc golf is my number one, and then I'd say after that, backpacking and hiking. The just being outside and seeing different things in nature, and like being able to listen to your own thoughts and put all the technology away for a minute, I think is important for people, especially nowadays. So that's something I've really taken to heart, because when we're on the road, you're surrounded by people at all times. Like, and I'm an only child, raised by a single mother, so I'm kind of introverted, and I'm not really used to being around people a lot of the time. So that gets me back to that by camping and stuff. It's like I get to be in nature, away from society for a minute, and it's just good for mental health, I think. So those things, I like mountain biking. I got a couple dogs I like to spend a lot of time with. So yeah, tons of stuff.
That's awesome, man. I always feel like too, like those side things, you never know, kind of like randomly influence your music as well. Like, or at least your initial main craft. Like, I heard Ricky Rocket talking about from Poison, how he got into jiu-jitsu like super late, like in his 40s. And he's like, I've never even been in a fight before, besides the times that the band had to get in a fight, like, and now he's like a 8th degree black belt or some shit. And he's just like, but he always talks about how like, the more he went to practice, the more he would think about his skill set on stage, and he would get ideas even when he's rolling around with some sweaty ass dude in front of him, that he would figure out new tricks of the trade, because your mind's working, when you're doing other things. So, has there any been like any examples like that, like you're hiking and maybe you came up to the roof to like Pretty Lady when you're there, and some really cool shit like that.
Yeah, you'll think of melodies just randomly, or like things involving the business or the music that you like would like to see happen. So I'll take a note real quick on my phone or something, that I can, like look into later or something. But like, you have to step away from whatever your job is or your passion is, and then to, be reinvigorated. You can't just like, I don't understand how the guys do it who just like eat, sleep, and breathe drums, like in the, like practice like 4 hours a day or whatever, like every day. Like, I can't do that. I got to step away, and then when I come back, I feel like reinvigorated, and I'm like stoked to play again. So like, now that we just finished like a huge tour, like I haven't touched the drums for a few weeks, and I won't again until we have another gig like leading up to that. And just because like when I sit down again, I'll be like really refreshed. My muscles will be back to normal, and I'll be more focused that way, I think. So this is how it works for me, at least.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I spoke with Rainin Bozio. He's Terry Bozio's son, and Terry Bozio's a legend, Zappa and the Missing Persons and whatever. And he actually said a lot of the same thing. He said that like thinking about trying to like be compared to his old man would be exhausting sometimes. So
Sure.
I would take breaks, and then when I took a break, I was surprised at how much better I was when I came back. Like, oh crap! Like I would take a 2 week break, 3 week, whatever, and when I came back, I felt refreshed and ready to fucking murder it. And then like, you don't feel like you're in a shadow anymore. You feel like you're on your own, bad motherfucker, I would say.
You said it, dude. You gotta take breaks and come back, and you never know what you're gonna find when you come back.
Absolutely. When you're making all these records, is there one record that you say stood out to you the most in terms of either like it was the hardest one to make, or it was the funnest one to make, or any sort of memory like that where you're like, fuck, man, I remember that. Or during this time, family member passed away, and this record for some reason means more to you, or something like that. Do you have any memories for like one specific record that stuck out to you?
Yeah, I mean, the first album was, everything is so new that like you're so excited. So like that's always a strong gonna be a strong memory. Like you're learning so much on the go. Like, 'cause studio time is obviously expensive. So like you're just trying to, get those ideas out, but you're also making mistakes and learning along the way. So That's always, you know, going to be any band's like first, like crazy memory. So, besides that, after the fact, I would probably say Free Reign would be another one that, I think fondly of. And that's just because like we were so much further in our career that we knew what we were doing. And that allowed us time to experiment. So like we started doing things like just beyond just laying down drums and percussion, like bringing crazy sounds or trying just new, different, weird things. And then we're also actively like more in charge of how the recording process was going and what we wanted to do versus like being told by a studio engineer, you know, that just works there telling you what to do. So it was more of like a collaborative process where we felt more in charge. And so I just, yeah, I think finally on that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think I was listening to some songs today and I was like really, really focusing on the drums, on your drums, on each record and seeing like how each album sounds different. And on Free Reign, I think Settle Down Easy's on Free Reign, right? And just on that song alone, I can hear like a little bit of like cowbell in the back, like, oh shit, there's a little bit of fucking extra stuff on this one. And it's awesome that you can be a little bit more different on each album. And
yeah,
I guess the hope is you hope people pick up on it, you know, and it's fucking great when it goes down that way.
Yeah, I think specifically before that album too, I had bought a bunch of new percussion or got an endorsement from Latin Percussion or LP, and they gave me a bunch of stuff. And so I had like all kinds of crazy percussion instruments, like different sizes, different like materials. And so I really got a chance to like spend some serious time on percussion, like 2 days straight of just trying different rhythms out and different textures and then like deciding what fit and stuff. So I'm glad you noticed that, because playing percussion is actually really fun for me, because the drums are the drums, like we know what they are, but like there's so many different colors on the palette when it comes to percussion that you can really spend some time with those things. And so that's one of my favorite things to do for sure.
Yeah, it's for me as a fan of music, I've noticed that my love for music has gotten so much stronger, but it's gotten more expansive, I would say. Like when I was a kid, I just liked the fucking hard shit, you know, and I still do to this day. I can't go to the gym and not play Metallica. But I remember when I was a kid, like drums wise, like me and my brother, we would watch Alex Van Halen do solos. And it was just for one reason, because it was just fast as it gets. It was lightning fast. It just sounded like fucking fireworks. And yeah. To a young kid, that's just exciting, you know, like you don't know shit about the drums. You just know that that's hard. And that's basically it. And as time went on, I started getting into more into rhythm. You said earlier, like, you know, like you like more of the background. And what was Ice Cube say? Gangsters don't dance, we boogie. You know what I'm saying? So I started like getting into the fucking drums like way more. But like I got into like Geezer Butler and like what they were doing with Bill Ward, like their rhythm section and for Sabbath. And like something as simple as like a Hand of Doom, you're like, oh my God, this fucking song it's just bass and drums to open it. And it's fucking perfect. And it's nothing like an Alex Van Halen drum solo. It's just simple and fucking awesome. But then I got into jazz. I got into more shit later on. And then when your drumming came around, I was like, this is like kind of everything I like put into fucking one. It felt that way, at least to me, that like, I like hip hop drums, you know, I like rock and roll drums. Like all, and it felt like this is somebody who's honestly just doing it all. And I don't even know, like I said, I don't know if it was like something you purposely did. I felt like it's just more innate. Like you just naturally had that flavor. And it's just like, it's cool as hell for a listener. Cause I felt like for me, I was working my way up to hearing your sound. Maybe I wouldn't have appreciated it when I was fucking 10. I'm glad it came around later, cause I was slowly developing my ears, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it totally does. Cause yeah, like you said, when you're a kid, when you're experiencing like music for the first time or like early on, you know, what's the fastest, what's the hardest, like you're at the ends of the spectrum kind of, because that's what's exciting, right? It's like, it's flashy and it's visually entertaining and stuff. But like, as like you said, as time goes on, you start listening a little bit deeper and appreciating things that get overlooked sometimes. So yeah, I'm glad I arrived at that point.
Hell yeah, man.
Some people never do. Yeah.
How was tell me about your last tour, man. I caught one of the shows down here in Costa Mesa, man. It was fucking great. It was a long tour. I saw you guys tour for a long time, man. Tell me about your last tour.
Yeah, that was one of our biggest tours we've done. Almost 50 shows. And I'd say it was one of our favorite tours easily, just because we got to tour again with bands that we had toured with earlier on in our careers. So we had Iration, we had Expendables, we had Pacifier, and we've toured with those bands like in years past, but then bringing all of us back together for one big tour was pretty special. Usually we have, you know, a Jamaican artist in there just to, you know, pay homage to the culture. We do that almost every year. And so this year we decided to go with like the homies that we almost grew up with. So the whole backstage vibe was so fun every day, because everyone's your friend. And you know them well, you have memories with those people and stuff. So it was extra special for sure this year. And it was definitely long. And I'm happy to be home now, but I'll never forget it. I almost wish I could go back.
Yeah, dude, it was legendary. And you're right. It's cool to have bands where you guys are all friends like that, man. Like, you can tell when people are faking the funk. You know, like, everyone knew Slash didn't get along with fucking Axl Rose. You know what I mean? Like, everyone knew that there was some drama. But, like, you guys, Iration, for sure, like, you could tell the brotherhood there, man. Like, there was a point where after Iration played, then you guys played and you brought him back on the stage for certain songs. And, And it's all love, man. I really do love that. It's very cool. In fact, I'm having them all in the lineup, except with the Expendables, was incredible. On the last show that I went, I told the person I was going with, I was like, hey, don't fuck around. I'll be there at 4. And they're like, well, I can get off work at 5. I was like, then you go by yourself. I'll see you later, dude. I'll send you your own ticket, because I'm not missing these good artists, man. It was a great show, dude.
Yeah, that is a challenge. It's like, we want all these guys on tour, but like, they have to play so early sometimes. And like, yeah, like you said, people aren't off work yet. So it's like, it's really cool to see the dedicated people come out early to try and see everybody.
Hell yeah, man. So what's next for you guys, man? How long is the break? And then what's next for the next tour, or next even record? What's going on?
Yeah, we'll probably be on break, you know, until next summer again. We just have some festivals here and there. The next one for us is Reggae Rise Up in Vegas. And then I don't think we have another show until Cali Vibes, which will be in Long Beach in February. So we have a pretty decent break, which I think we earned. But yeah, we'll have another big, you know, not, I wouldn't say a big tour, but we'll have another summer tour coming up. Usually starts with Cali Roots is how we think about it. And so yeah, that'll be it.
That's fucking awesome, man. Last question I wanted to ask you, man, for any kid out there, man, growing up as a big Revolution fan or whatever, man, someone who's just a fucking drummer at heart, man, he's got it, you know, like, he doesn't need anyone else's approval, but he fucking knows I got it and this is what I want to do. What mm-hmm. advice would you give to that kid who's trying to enter the profession that you're in?
Yeah, I'd say be humble, you know, don't have too many preconceived notions like we talked about earlier. Like, I think a lot of young players get beat themselves up because they don't rise to success as quick as they've seen others do it. And so they kind of give up on themselves a little too early. So I would encourage tenacity and endurance and be patient and just keep hustling, you know, for as long as you can. Like, we had day jobs just like everybody else, you know, it's not just like a clear cut, like, oh, they played their first show and now then they quit all their jobs. It doesn't work like that. You know, you gotta pay the bills. So just, you know, keep it going, write good songs and do your best to promote yourself without being annoying. Cause I've seen that too, where some people just push themselves a little too hard and then they, you know, it almost backfires. So that's definitely possible, especially in today's day and age when you can do so much digitally. But yeah, man, just invest in yourself and be good to yourself and each other.
I love that, man. Wesley Finley, thanks for joining us, man. I had such a blast, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Danny. I really appreciate it.
Of course, man. Do me a favor. Tell everybody where they can find you, social media, all those things, and, you know, where they should look for your guys' next tour and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we're on the usual stuff. Revolution, just look up Revolution on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, which is now X. And we have our usual website. It's revolutionmusic.com. And as soon as you go on there, you can see all our tour dates. And check out our store as well. So yeah, thank you for checking us out.
Of course, man. Dude, this is a huge honor for me, man. I really do appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks again, Danny.
Of course, brother. This has been Alternate Take. We'll see you guys later. Peace.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Our interview with the great drummer of Rebelution, Mr. Wesley Finley. Thanks a lot for joining the show, Wes. I appreciate you, man. It's a hell of a time for me to interview the drummer of my favorite band, man. Unreal. I had such a good time. And for all you guys who are now Wesley Finley fans, or already have been, excuse me, I put all of his podcast stuff, social media stuff, everything in the podcast description. So go check that shit out, man. And for Rebelution fans, man, they'll be coming to California here soon. They got Cali Vibes, dude, in Long Beach in February. It's going to be epic. I'll be there, VIP and everything, bitch. You better fucking recognize. So come say what's up to me if you see me. But yeah, it's going to be a blast. Thank you guys for joining the show, man. Go to twc.health/alternatetake and type in the promo code alternatetake for 10% off for all your wellness needs. And that's it. This has been Alternate Take. My name is Danny Rodriguez. I'll see you guys later. Peace.